Good morning, Orlando. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. Two police shootings have occurred. Do you think it's time for some body cams? We're going to talk about it right now. You're the voice trying to understand it. Make the noise of making clear. Whoa. We're not going to sit in silence. We're not going to live with fear.
This is the Doherty Report. With Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
Welcome to the best morning program on Orlando Radio. Right now we have the three things you need to know today.
An Orlando man is dead this morning after being found shot at a local gas station. Orlando police officials said the unidentified 26-year-old man was found gravely wounded last night at a Citgo gas station at Raleigh Street and Broome Avenue. He was taken to the hospital where he died. Authorities said there was no known witnesses to the shooting and no known suspects at this time. Marco Rubio won't be heading to the GOP convention in Cleveland. Florida's junior senator announced yesterday he'll stay at home as Donald Trump is expected to be officially nominated as the Republican nominee for president. Rubio is citing his own reelection bid as the reason for not going. The convention runs July 18th until the 21st. And police are looking for the man who robbed a Chase Bank yesterday. Osceola County deputy said a man wearing blue jeans, a blue shirt, and a hat robbed the Chase Bank yesterday on South JYP. The bad guy is said to be 5'10" tall and has tattoos on both arms. He fled the bank with an undisclosed sum of money. Central Florida weather will see mostly sunny skies today. It will be hot, hot, hot. In fact, all the way through the weekend, daytime highs 95 to 98 degrees, depending on where you are. Overnight lows around 80, and the rain chance for the next few days only about 20%. Right now, 78 degrees at 1440 WPRD.
So, as we said, two shootings overnight. One was in Minnesota. The other one was in, I think, New Orleans.
It was in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Baton Rouge.
Yep.
So, here's the thing. The point of the whole thing is if police would just wear body cams, which groups have been trying to get them to do across the country, there wouldn't be any question about what happened. So the real question is, why don't they want to wear body cams? I don't even think in Orlando they wear them. And they had the funding to do it.
I have to check. I don't want to say one way or the other without knowing for certain what the official rule is in Orlando.
We will check.
We will check.
I believe they're not wearing body cams.
Let me Google it. Let's go to the source of all information here, Google.
Our number is 844-544-8255. That's not the normal number you call. We have our own toll-free number, 844-544-8255. Don't you think all these questions would be alleviated if the police would just wear body cams? And the bigger question is, why don't they want to? When people ask us for information, you and me, and you don't want to give it to them, the immediate response is, what are you trying to hide? Why don't you want to give the information? Are you trying to hide something? Because if you weren't trying to hide anything, you wouldn't have a problem giving information. Yet when we ask for information, this happens over and over and over again. We're given all sorts of excuses by our government. So I guess the question is, what are they trying to hide? Did you find out the answer?
Yes, I did. The police department received $500,000 grant from the U.S. Justice Department to put body cams on cops. The Orlando City Council voted back in April to match the funds, and the city sent out a request for a proposal. That's where things are right now. So they're still apparently evaluating bids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, by the way, separately, two cops who work for the Orlando Police Department are investigation for also working for the company that provides body cams.
I knew there was something. Yeah, I had read something about this, that there was some anomaly there.
Yeah, some odd thing. Taser is one of the nine companies that supported or submitted a proposal, according to the Orlando Sentinel, and may have violated a state ethic code that prohibits city employees from also working for the companies that they are or may be doing business with.
Let's talk about this Minnesota shooting.
Mm-hmm.
A Minnesota officer shot a man in a car with a woman and a child in the car because the police officer thought he was going for a weapon after he asked him for his ID and registration. What do you think he's going to get out of the glove box if you asked him for his ID and registration? He's getting what you asked him for. A lot of these cops, I mean, there's 99% of the police and sheriffs and all those people are great people. In fact, the Orange County Sheriff's Department is probably one of the best in the country. But there's those few police officers around the country, very few, that seem to be, I don't want to use the word trigger happy because that's not what it is. I think they're fearful. I think they're so worried about getting shot that sometimes they jump the gun, no pun intended.
I have some sound on this, too, by the way, if you're interested. The man's...
It's not of the actual shooting, is it?
The man's girlfriend...
Right, I understand.
...had a cell phone and was recording the whole
thing. She recorded it and put it on Facebook, but
that's
it's not
correct.
The actual shooting part, is it?
I think the third cut might include that.
Yeah, let's leave that one out.
Okay. Minnesota authorities are investigating an officer-involved shooting that left a black man in a Minneapolis suburb dead yesterday. 32-year-old Philandro Castillo was in a car with his girlfriend and her daughter. When they were stopped by police, she posted a video of the incident on Facebook.
We got pulled over for a busted taillight in the back. And the police, he's covered. He killed my boyfriend.
She says the police asked Castillo for his license and registration, and he informed the officers that he had a firearm and concealed and carry permit. She says that when he reached for his license, the officer shot him four times and says that he didn't do anything wrong.
He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer know that he was... He had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet.
Okay, and the third cut actually is the sound of what she posted on Facebook. You didn't want to hear that, so.
No, we don't need to hear that. Here's the thing. There's a child in the car who said, "I'm scared, Mommy." That child is scarred for life. That child's scarred for life now. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should be an officer if... you can't handle the job. Now, we don't know all the details yet. I'm not saying the officer can't handle the job in this particular case. But I do think there seems to be an inordinate number of these types of shootings. Way too many. And it keeps happening. And many times, it's people of color that it happens to. Why is that? And why are so many police departments resistant to their officers wearing body cams? I'll give you one answer, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. They're worried about being sued for doing something wrong. So they don't want people watching. It's the same reason. This is the real reason, by the way, because I'm tired of these BS answers from our local authorities about the Pulse shooting. The real reason they don't want to release the 911 calls, they want to release these little dispatch reports. Maitland Police just released one. The real reason is they're worried about being sued for the patrons getting hit by friendly fire. That's what they're really worried about. And they don't want to tell you that. That is my personal opinion, obviously, and not necessarily the opinion of this radio station. But that's all I can get from this. When we talked to one of the victims, like I said yesterday, he wanted to know what happened. So don't tell me it's because of the victims and their families and all that. They are worried about liability. That's the bottom line. If I were them, I'd probably try to do the same thing. Because that's the job if you're representing these departments, is to try to keep them from getting sued. However, They're applying the statute, according to the attorney that appeared on our program, they're applying the statute incorrectly. They're basically making up their own law as to why they're not going to release the information. 844-544-8255. Do you think there should be body cams on all police officers, sheriffs, even FBI people? I don't know if you remember, but there was a shooting in Orlando by an FBI agent. They suspected this Russian kid was involved in the Boston bombings. So they kept interviewing him and interviewing him and interviewing him. And they didn't do it in an office. They kept going to his house where no one else was there, no cameras, no recording that I'm aware of. And finally, the kid got tired of it. And I think he flipped over a table or something, and the agent killed him. You never hear about that. But if the agent had been wearing a body cam, we would have seen exactly what happened. I'm tired of being held accountable for everything as a person in this society, as a person who lives here in this country, and being told, if I don't like it, I must be hiding something, while they sit there and hide stuff every day. We haven't even talked about the lottery yet. We're going to talk about the Florida lottery in hour two of the program and what they said to us when we asked for some accountability as to how much money is going to education and for them to talk to us about what they're doing. It blew my mind. I said, we're citizens. We have the right to know. We voted for the lottery. And now you don't want to be held accountable? So again, the question comes up, what are you trying to hide? So that's coming up. We have an update on the Hillary situation. Congress has decided they want to do hearings now. I don't know what that's going to do, except sit there and, you know, try to embarrass these people. But they're not going to do anything. They're just going to ask them a bunch of questions so they look like they're doing their job. And then we're all going to move on and everything's going to be forgotten. You know, like Lionel said yesterday, the fix is in. You have no say in anything. I'm not even sure your vote counts anymore. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this and some of the other news stories going on today. Stay with us.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
Have you up under my arm? I used up all of my tricks. I hope that you like this, but you probably won't. You think you're cooler than me. You got designer shades just to hide your face, and you wear them around like you're cooler than me. And you never say hey or remember my name, and it's probably because you think you're cooler.
Follow Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Doherty Report, and visit thedohertyreport.com for news updates, show highlights, podcasts, commentaries, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the award-winning Doherty Report. Good morning, Orlando. So this incident in Minnesota comes on the heels of another incident where 37-year-old Alton Sterling was killed by Baton Rouge police, which was also captured on video. And the U.S. Justice Department has launched a civil rights investigation into that shooting. I do not understand why this keeps happening. I really don't. Do you know what this guy in Minnesota did for a living? Castile. He worked in a school cafeteria for years, making food for kids. That's what he did. Does that sound like a dangerous person to you? He worked in the J.J. Hill School cafeteria for 12 to 15 years, cooking for the little kids. And now he's dead because he tried to get his ID and registration that the police officer asked for.
Let's back up just a little bit. The cops pulled him over because apparently there was a broken taillight. How often do white people get pulled over because of a broken taillight? It sounds to me like the cops in Baton Rouge, and this is my opinion, saw a car with a broken headlight or a broken taillight and a couple of black people inside and decided to pull him over for maybe there might be something there. Just a thought.
We have a call. Good morning. You're on WPRD.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Good morning, Mike.
Hey there.
How are you?
All right. It's very sad, these two news, right? And specifically, that one in Baton Rouge, I think.
Right.
And when this Afro-American gentleman was on the floor, two gorillas and his top, how do you want to explain that shot was justified? Because, I mean, your two cops, I don't know if you saw the video. I saw the video last night.
Did you?
Okay. And this gentleman was on the floor. Okay. So these two big gorillas was on his top. And he shot, and I don't know, in his chest or something. Yeah, in the chest. I don't know, about four or five shots.
That's crazy.
So how in the hell do you want to justify that? And the chief of police say in the conference that this was justified. I mean, please.
I know. How does this keep happening?
We need to stop.
Yeah.
We need to stop this police brutality.
I'm totally with you on that.
Okay.
And I think one of the ways you could stop it is make them wear body cams all the time.
Of course. And I thought that Orange County, they not approve of the body cams on the police officers? I'm asking you. Not yet?
Orlando Police, they've approved it.
Right.
But they don't have them yet.
They don't have a vendor to supply them yet. That's the process. They're going through the competitive bidding process.
Oh, please. That's an excuse. Right?
Well, it takes time.
You don't have now vendors to supply that? There's thousands and thousands of vendors who want to supply those items to the police department.
One would think it would
be done
better.
They don't want to be, like you say, they're afraid. They're scared to be sued. They're scared to be, they know what they're doing. And when you say, I'm not kind of agree with you, Elizabeth, when you say 99% of the police force are good, I don't think so.
No.
Okay, let's be conservative. Maybe a 92-93%. Yes. Maybe.
So
but 99%, I don't think so.
Wow. Well, we sure appreciate your calls, sir.
You know. And let me tell you this one final thing. I'm not against police force. Actually, I've been security officer for 20 years.
Wow.
Armed security officer for, 1991 to 2011. That's how many years? About 20?
Wow.
Because 2011, I decided not to keep, working with my arm anymore. I said, nah, that's good enough. But I avoided many confrontations in order to use my gun. But this is the thing, because I have no police power. If I shoot somebody else, believe me, they will put me in jail. There's no question about it. But if you are a police officer, the guns are the first.
We're up against a break. I'm really sorry. We have to take a quick break, but we really appreciate you listening this morning.
Lines are open right now.
844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Doherty Report, and visit thedohertyreport.com for news updates, show highlights, podcasts, commentaries, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. Good morning. So I really appreciated the comments of our last caller. While I said 99% of police are good, he thinks it's more like 90-92%, something like that.
See, but he comes from a different perspective.
He's a security officer, an armed security officer.
I understand that, but he's not...
So he's got the inside view.
Yes, he's got a different perspective of it. Based upon his nationality, his background, you know, his ethnicity.
He's been doing this for 20 years.
I understand that.
So...
The question is, are cops colorblind?
I think the answer to that is no.
This guy in Minneapolis, outside one of the suburbs.
We had an interview on this program where a guy did a study and found out how many people of color were stopped in Ferguson. Remember Ferguson,
yes.
Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to how many white people and how many were arrested compared to white people.
And the fact that there are no government... statistics on police shootings. It's all, I mean, you're seeing it now. You can find all kinds of statistics about police shootings of people of color versus people of you know, whites. You're all kinds of independent, but the police still do not keep, or the government does not keep its own records of that. They just turn their eyes to it. They don't keep those records. It's amazing.
Why not?
Because if they keep the record, somebody is going to question them about it and demand action.
This is all about them being sued. And the caller agreed with me on that, too.
Yes.
So that opens up a line, 844-544-8255. Do you think this problem would be fixed if police were made to wear body cams? So that every time they stop somebody, all the video and audio is recorded. I think that would fix the problem. And I don't know why they're so reluctant to do it in many cities. But like I said, when they want information from you, if you don't give it to them, what are you trying to hide?
Yeah, you're hiding something.
You must be hiding something.
By the way, do you know how many people have been shot and killed by the police so far in 2016?
I thought there are no statistics on it.
Well, this one is from the Washington Post. I said independent agencies are doing it, you know, and that you can find the statistics online, but the government doesn't keep an official record of it.
Oh, okay.
Washington Post says that 505 people have been shot and killed by police in 2016. This database is based, and it's a database that they keep, is based on news reports, public records, social media, and other sources.
You know, and here's what people always say, white people. They say, well, what about black-on-black crime? That's even more. But that's like comparing apples and oranges. It's two different issues. Two different issues. It doesn't... You know, if you want to talk about that issue, that's a separate thing. It has nothing to do with police shooting people of color. Nothing. So I'm really tired of hearing that comparison. They're not the same thing. So just, you know, let that go. You want to study that? Study that. What we're talking about is how police, and like the caller said, they tend to gang up on people, like the guy in New York.
That's Eric Garner.
That's one of the stories we won an award for, was our coverage of Eric Garner in New York and what they did to that poor guy.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Yep.
How many times? Begging the cops to get off of him.
Horrible. Really horrible. 844-544-8255. I want to give you an update on what's going on with Hillary Clinton's little problem, which apparently isn't a problem for her because nobody's prosecuting her. Now they're looking at James Comey. And, you know, this guy worked underneath George Bush. And he was a well-respected guy in D.C. So people are just shocked at the way this was handled, this investigation of Hillary Clinton and her emails. I think we should go back to the clip we played yesterday, which was actually a commercial, a Trump commercial.
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
At the time?
At the time they were sent or received.
Any information that was marked classified?
To contain classified information.
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
Eight of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent.
Any information that was marked classified.
36 of those chains contained secret information at the time.
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
And eight contained confidential information at the time.
At the time.
It's pretty, I mean.
Yeah, you can't get more brutal than that.
It kind of explains itself.
Using her own words in a televised interview on ABC News.
And he purposefully, I think, took her words and threw them right back at her. At the time. That was the key phrase.
He being Comey.
Yes.
Yes, when Comey wrote that speech that he delivered, you could tell it was well crafted, that it was deliberately put together the way that it was so that it would have this effect.
And normally, when they announce the results of an investigation, they do not give a 15-minute speech like that.
Mm-mm.
He went into great detail. They normally don't do that.
No, they don't. They just have a one-sentence statement, boom, done.
So we'll see what Congress does. They're going to have hearings. I don't expect anything's going to come from it. I think it's just a big show, like it usually is. And then it all goes away. So we have some other audio clips this morning.
Yeah, let me go ahead and just, since we're talking about that topic right now, a congressman from North Carolina, a member of the House Oversight Committee, says the FBI probe into Hillary Clinton's email is not just a Republican Party thing right now.
It's an American story that really the vast majority of Americans don't want someone saying one thing and then having evidence that would suggest something very different.
North Carolina Republican Mark Meadows told Fox News that when FBI Director James Comey testifies before the committee today, so they're going to have hearings today, he'll have to answer if there's a double standard when it comes to prosecution. Meadows says he has a lot of respect for James Comey.
He has incredible credentials. As a law enforcement officer, I think that no one can deny who he is, an independent-minded, fair investigator.
So there you go. He's going to be up on the stage today in front of Congress, in front of a House committee, and they want some answers. They want to know why this went down the way that it did. So we'll see what happens.
So, in other news,
mm-hmm.
Gretchen Carlson from Fox News.
Oh, this is a cool story.
Is filing a lawsuit against Roger Ailes.
Okay, explain who Gretchen is.
Harassment.
Uh-huh.
She was a correspondent, a broadcaster on Fox News.
And eventually she was part of the Fox and Friends morning show, Gretchen Carlson. She's a former Miss Minnesota. And then they wound up giving her her own show, her own midday show, for quite some time.
I don't know what happened there.
And Roger Ailes is the chairman of Fox News. He's like the godfather of conservative news, TV news.
See, this is another one of those things that doesn't matter, because they're going to have an internal review at Fox News over the behavior of CEO Roger Ailes. How do you have an internal review of the CEO? You're just pretending you're doing something. You think they're going to fire Roger Ailes?
Well, I read part of the complaint yesterday that's actually been filed in the court system. And if what she says is true, this has gone on for a while where he was hitting on her. At one point, let me see if I can actually find it, because I don't want to misquote it or anything. At the same time, he's filed a defamation lawsuit against her.
It looks like she made allegations against Ducey, also Steve Ducey.
Really?
Which is surprising.
Yeah, I didn't see. Oh, there you go. But the lawsuit also includes or describes sexist treatment from fellow Fox host Steve Ducey.
I don't know.
Wow.
That's surprising, because he seems like a nice person, but who knows? You never know.
Ailes is 76 years old. He founded Fox News back in 1996 and has run the network with an iron fist ever since, with employees very, very loyal to him.
So Ailes released a statement calling the lawsuit defamatory and a retaliation. This is a retaliation for the network's decision not to renew her contract, which was due to the fact that her disappointingly low ratings were dragging down the afternoon lineup. So.
All right. The lawsuit alleges that Ailes repeatedly injected sexual or sexist comments into conversations, and he, quote, made sexual advances by various means. I wonder what those various means are, and said to her last September, this is the quote, "Hey, I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be good and better, and I'd be good and better." End of quote.
Apparently, according to the complaint, Ailes made sexually charged comments ranging from lewd innuendo, ogling, and remarks about her body, and demands for sex as a way for her to improve her job standing. You think that's true?
I have no idea. Would it surprise me? No, it wouldn't.
The problem with this whole thing is it's hard to prove.
Right. It's a he said, she said. Or she said, he said.
Unless someone else overheard this or witnessed it.
And can collaborate it.
I don't know that this is going to survive a motion to dismiss. You know, the Rule 12 motion to dismiss thing.
Right.
Unless she has some sort of proof. The complaint also alleges that Ailes asked Carlson to turn around so he could view her behind, commented repeatedly about her legs, and instructed her to wear certain outfits that he claimed enhanced her figure.
This is the same network that, do you remember the story of when Megyn Kelly they gave her own show? They specifically put lighting underneath where she sat so as to highlight her legs.
Yeah.
Uplighting.
Yep.
To highlight her legs.
There were rumors about her and Bill O'Reilly, who she used to work for before she had her own show. You know, Mr. Falafel?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
There's a producer that he was accused of harassing And instead of using the word loofah, he wanted to see her use a loofah, you know, the bath sponge thing.
Uh-huh.
He kept using the wrong word, calling it falafel.
Falafel. By the way, Gretchen wrote on Facebook, as many
but
of
she
you...
had voicemails. In that case.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Gretchen wrote on Facebook that a couple of days ago, she goes, as you may have heard, I'm no longer with Fox News. I value your support and friendship, especially now. So please stay in touch with me. She said the lawsuit was a difficult step to take, but that she had to stand up for herself and speak out for all women and the next generation of women in the workplace. So there you go.
They said, Ailes said, that she should stop being offended so blank, blank, easy.
Hmm.
You know, the word that starts with God.
Yeah.
The curse word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't he just get married? I think he just got married.
Which one?
Roger Ailes.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't, you know, no idea.
Anyway, this is a... There's a complaint.
Yeah. Will you read it during the break?
Well, I don't need to read it. I mean, I think we pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But, like I said, it's a he said, she said thing, unless she's got some...
evidence.
Voicemails or writings, emails, something. Stay with us. Our number is 844-544-8255. Do we need body cams for police?
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. Show on your smartphone. Just go to gcnlive.com and click on listening options. This is the Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
You know what I love?
What do you love besides me?
Besides you and my son and our animals. I love how my computer does the spinning beach ball thing.
During the show.
Yes, that's like one of my favorite things.
These are a few of my favorite things.
I'm just turning it off.
Okay, that's probably
really
the best thing to turn it off. By the way, you know what's happening in Hernando County, just over from, you know, straight across 50?
What?
They're going to be rolling out a new system for 911 that will allow people to text 911 for help.
That probably would have been helpful during the Pulse shooting.
Yes, indeed. So if there's something going on and you can't pick up the phone and call, you could text 911 that will do the same thing. It's something that the Hernando County Sheriff's Office is rolling out, and it eventually will be rolled out across the Tampa Bay area. No word yet on when it might make it over here.
Did I mention PolitiFact this morning?
No, you didn't.
Oh. PolitiFact, which is administered by the Tampa Bay Times. It's an arm of them and the Poynter Institute. They came out and said that previously they weren't sure how to rate Hillary's claims about the emails because they didn't have all the information. But now that they have all the information... they basically called her a liar. They said what she said was false, which is a pretty big statement coming from the Tampa Bay Times and PolitiFact. We've had PolitiFact on the program before. I mean, they're very detailed. They do a lot of research. And they just took each sentence, kind of like what we did, and evaluated it and said, you know, there's no way you can justify her statements. There's just no way. So,
here's what it said. We previously found that Clinton was spinning what was publicly known about the FBI investigation and Clinton's emails. Previously, we've rated her claim half true. Now we know it's just plain wrong. I mean, you can't come any closer to just saying, to saying, and again, this is PolitiFact, which is, you know, an arm of the Tampa Bay Times, which has been very sympathetic toward, you know, toward the left and for, you know, Democratic candidates over the years.
I don't know if they're sympathetic.
Oh, yes, they are.
You know, I'm always going to stick up for the Tampa
Bay
Times.
I know you are, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you know it going into it, what you're going to see. The news
is... PolitiFact is not...
I understand that.
...is not a biased organization.
I understand that. As long as you understand the news is clean, the editorials are very, very pointed.
John Romano is not...
He's also not on the editorial board.
Very liberal.
Board. He's a reporter-writer. That's what I'm saying. The news is balanced that they present. But the editorials is a different story. PolitiFact, straight-ahead news. It's clean. There's not a whole lot of politicizing of stories. So when they say that, you know, we now know that it's just plain wrong talking about Hillary Clinton's statements, that's really saying something.
Anyway, it's at TampaBay.com.
Yep.
If you want to read it, it's right on the front page today. And when we talk about TampaBay.com, we're talking about national stories and state stories because we're a local program. So we talk about Orlando news, but when it comes to national and state stories, they're a pretty decent publication. I mean, 12 Pulitzer Prizes later, they're probably one of the best papers around in the Southeast. Maybe the best. So, anyway, I'm a little biased because I know them and they've been on the program. Lots of people from there have been on the program. And the reason is they talk about what they know about and they do their research and they, you know, they're always great guests to have on. On the other side, when we come back, is it time for everyone in the law enforcement industry, that includes FBI, to be wearing body cams? I think it's time. I think enough incidents have happened. How many times are we going to let this keep going? Stay with us. We'll be back.
This is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Doherty Report. Should police be wearing body cams to alleviate these senseless killings? We're going to talk about it right now.
You're the voice, try and understand it. Bring the noise and make it clear. Oh, oh. We're not going to sit in silence. We're not going to live with fear. Oh,
this is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
We're going to talk about the body cams in a moment and the two shootings that have occurred. First, we have the three things you need to know today.
Marco Rubio won't be heading to the GOP convention in Cleveland. Florida's junior senator announced yesterday he'll stay at home as Donald Trump is expected to be officially nominated as the GOP nominee for president. Marco cited his own reelection bid as the reason for not going. The convention starts July 18th and runs until the 21st. Well, they've tried four times and failed. A proposed meeting to depose DeBary's mayor has been postponed for a fourth time. The Daytona Daytona Beach News Journal reports that a meeting to consider removing Mayor Clint Johnson from office for violating the city's charter. They've rescheduled the meeting to August 24th, and it'll be to determine if Johnson violated the city's charter by improperly making demands to fellow city employees. And police are looking for the man who robbed a Chase Bank yesterday. Osceola County Sheriff's deputies said a man wearing blue jeans, a blue shirt, and a hat robbed the Chase Bank yesterday on JYP. The bad guy is described as 5'10", with tattoos on both arms. He fled the bank with an undisclosed sum of money. We'll see partly cloudy skies today. It'll be hot. Daytime highs between 95 and 98 degrees. You look like you want to jump in here.
Was that three things?
Yes. Marco, DeBerry, and the Chase Bank robbery.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I thought I saw four things on that piece of paper.
You know what I do? I put four or sometimes five things you need to know, and then I can rotate them over the course of the morning. So in case you're listening at 6, the three things you know might be slightly different than the three things you need to know at 7.
So you need to know different things at 7 than
possibly,
at 6?
Possibly. Okay. Daytime highs between 95 and 98 degrees. Only a 20% chance of showers through the next few days. Overnight lows around 78. 79 right now at 1440 WPRD. Those are the three things you need to know.
So the reason why we do traffic and weather is we're on a multilingual station. So even though they do their own traffic in Spanish, we like to do it in English also for our English-speaking listeners. That way, you know what's going on if you don't happen to speak Spanish. So that's why we do that. We're not trying to be redundant or anything. So we talked about this in the last hour. Why aren't police being forced to wear body cams? I'm talking about on a national level. This should be a congressional decision. That all law enforcement should be wearing body cams. Because these incidents keep happening. The man in Minnesota was stopped for having a broken taillight. The officer approached the car. The man said, they asked for his ID and registration. And he reached over to the glove box to get it, and the police officer thought he was reaching for a gun. Because he told the officer, he said, "I have a carry permit, I'm just letting you know, but I'm only getting my ID and registration." So he reached over to get it. Officer shot him four times with his girlfriend and a young child in the car. That is wrong on so many levels. This guy worked in a cafeteria for over 10 years. A school cafeteria, making food for little kids. And now his life is over. Don't you think a body cam would have alleviated that? And don't you think maybe the officer would have thought twice before shooting him if he was forced to wear a body cam? 844-544-8255. I know the number's different than the one you normally call. It's our own toll-free number. 844-544-8255. In the meantime, there's an arsonist in Washington State who apparently doesn't like porta potties because he keeps setting them on fire.
What?
He has caused more than $30,000 in damages since 2015 by setting porta potties on fire. Why? I mean, I know they're kind of, nasty and stuff. I would never use one unless I absolutely had to. But setting them on fire, don't you think that's a little extreme? I mean, you could knock it over or something, kind of like cow tipping.
Mm-hmm.
But setting it on fire, That's a little much, don't you think?
I do. Do you know how expensive porta potties are, by the way?
How much are they?
You can find them online right now if you really want one for $712. It's made by a company called Polyjohn from Global Industrial. The typical square one is about, you can get them a little cheaper than that, too.
I think they need to, you know, if you're going to have porta potties like at a fair or event or something, you know how I hate germs.
Yes.
Those things are never clean.
Well, I don't know about that.
Those are the nastiest things. I mean, if I were not a nice person, I might set one on fire, too, because those things are just nasty.
By the way, there was a friend of mine, quick story, friend of mine years ago, very, very particular and meticulous about his home. He just moved in. It was a brand new home built. The home across the street was still under construction. That's how new this neighborhood was. This guy was so meticulous, he even alphabetized his spices.
I know who you're talking about.
The house across the street was under construction. We went over to his home one night to have a party there. We picked up the portalette.
He can't bail it from his own party.
That's correct. We picked up the portalette and moved it across the street onto his driveway and kind of blocked his cars in the garage with it so he couldn't get out, so he couldn't leave.
Yeah, because he does the famous bailout.
Yes, he does.
So...
And I wash my hands very, very well afterwards, just so you know.
That's good, because you know how I am. It's gross. So anyway, how long are we going to let these shootings go on? This, you know, like I said in the last hour, Eric Garner was probably the worst example of an unwarranted shooting. The guy in New York City. I mean, they gang up on these people, the officers. It's a completely unfair situation. And in that case, they put Eric Garner in an illegal chokehold. And I think he had asthma or something.
Yeah, he had some sort of breathing difficulty.
And he kept saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And then the man died. 844-544-8255. Am I wrong? Should I be just supporting the police 100% no matter what? Or do you think we should be holding a mirror up to the community to say, hey, there's a problem here. It can easily be fixed with body cams. Easily. Yet many cities around the country don't want them. And like I said before, I think it's because they're afraid they're going to be sued.
Let me give you some statistics from the Washington Post, 2015. And let's put this in perspective. They said that 990 people were shot and killed by the police in 2015. In the state of Florida alone, there were 60 people shot and killed by the police in 2015. Of those, 59 were men, one woman. Whites, 24. Blacks, 26. 9 Hispanics, and one other.
And considering that the black population is
16% of the population.
It might be more than that.
Maybe.
Now.
But still, half of the people
who
were killed.
It's still not 50%.
Yeah,
though.
Half the people who were killed by the cops were blacks. 48 of them had a deadly weapon. 8 of them were completely unarmed of the 60 that were killed.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about that. 844-544-8255. And we're also going to talk about who the biggest fakers are.
Fakers as far as what?
In the bedroom.
What?
Men or women.
Oh, no. We're not doing another bedroom segment, are we?
Yes. It's a news story. You're going to be surprised at the result.
I can hardly wait.
I love watching Michael squirm.
Squirming right now, baby.
And blushing already. Stay with us. You've been listening to the award-winning Doherty Report.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. Follow Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Doherty Report, for news updates, show highlights, podcasts, commentaries, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. Good morning, Orlando. So, just because I like to keep Michael on his toes, I've got a story for you this morning.
I'm not looking at you.
So you won't even look at me now?
I'm not looking at you. I've got my eyes closed and just looking down.
What percentage of What percentage of men compared to women do you think fake it in the bedroom? You don't have a guess?
I don't have a guess because I'm sitting here thinking of the mechanics of it, and I don't know if it's possible to do so.
Oh, yeah.
What, do you just start yelling and screaming?
Pretty much. I think it depends. Hold on, somebody's calling.
No, there's no possible way a guy can fake it.
You're on the air at WPRD.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Michael's getting all uncomfortable over there.
To respond to your question.
Yes.
So you, how much is the percent? Because you never mentioned about how much is the percent of people. I mean, well, men's and girls fake in a bit.
Yeah, according to this story, one in three men admit faking it. But the
one out of three?
One out of three. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. 33% of the guys in this study.
That's too much. That's a little bit too much.
Don't you think that's a lot?
Yes.
And it's 7 out of 10 women.
I mean, that's a lot, because I don't think so. I mean, in my perception, in my experience, I think 70% of the women fake in the bed.
Yeah, so 7 out of 10. Yep.
And you see that? 70%. I'm not even heard that. But 70%. Men's, I don't know, because I've never been with men's. But, I mean, this is my perception.
Well,
so
I was surprised.
I'm not fake. So honestly, that's a big surprise. But honestly, men's cannot fake easy. That's what I think. If you have, if you don't want to make anything that night or that day, you don't want to do anything. Simple as that.
One would think
you
that would
what
be.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're not able to fake. So we don't have that. We're not capacity to do that.
Well, with women, they said.
Yes.
37% said they found it boring.
Mm-hmm.
36% said they weren't in the mood. 33% said they were too tired. 28% said they consumed too much alcohol.
Okay, that's more than 100%, by the way. But go ahead.
Maybe they had more than one reason. Their partner was new.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't know what they were doing. 16%. Or that they generally have a problem with that. 15%. So,
can we move?
That's very good. Very interesting. That's very interesting survey.
Well, we appreciate your call, sir.
Sure, thank you.
All right, take care.
That opens up a line right now, 844-544-8255. I have no freaking idea why you'd want to call, but if you do, 844-544-8255.
I'm curious if men will admit
to faking it,
that they do that.
I don't, and we, I just said this, I don't think it's physically possible for a guy to fake it.
You don't?
No. I mean, we can't.
You can't really go into detail.
No, you can't.
Well, I believe, I'm going to say something that's going to really bug you now.
Okay, go ahead.
I believe I could tell, but there might be some women who could not tell. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just sipping my coffee.
So, I thought that was an interesting little story.
Oh, please let the break come up quicker. Don't I have to report traffic?
36% of men saw nothing wrong with faking it.
How big of a survey was this?
It was a pretty big survey.
Apparently.
4 out of 10 women, 42%, said it was easy to fool men.
Now that doesn't surprise me. Guys are, you know, like,
you remember that movie When Harry Met Sally?
Yes.
The famous scene in that movie.
In the restaurant, uh-huh.
Yep. Only 12% of men said they would find faking it easy. So, that's it.
Thankfully, that's it.
You feel better now?
Yes.
I thought that was an interesting little set of facts.
Yes,
and statistics.
It is.
Yeah, it was a pretty big study. I wonder how they conducted that study.
Orally.
Was it like a sleep study?
Quick time out when we come back. We've got more for you here.
Stay with us. You're listening to The Daugherty Report right here on WPRD, The Voice.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is The Daugherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
Report, then like us on Facebook. Go to AuthorityReport.com and click the window into her Facebook page. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Daugherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Daugherty. I had a related story I was going to tell you about, but Michael wants to talk about the FCC.
Once you step back and listen to what I'm about to say, maybe your follow-up story on the one you just read will make you pause for just a moment. This from the Inside Radio Now, Tom Taylor's column.
We didn't say anything bad.
I understand that. Indecency will now cost a station $383,000.
It wasn't indecent.
Or up to $3.5 million.
We didn't curse. We didn't describe any, you know.
Let me just... Other fines were also automatically hiked on July 1st as a result of the Inflation Adjustment Act for federal agency fees. So let me see if I got this right. The feds are not going to, you know, increase Social Security, but they are increasing the fees that they charge for things. Here's what's happening. When Janet Jackson gave her a little Super Bowl flashback in 2004, a single incident of indecency might draw a fine of $32,500. That's what the FCC charged. That has now gone up to $383,000 or $3,535,740 for a continuing violation. So when a radio station has a slip on the air, it could cost that station $383,083.
That's why we're so careful.
Oh, my gosh.
We are very careful.
Yes.
So in a related story.
In a related story.
Drinking too many sodas can affect your ability to perform.
A male or a female?
Male.
Okay.
Apparently. There's something in it. It's not clear whether they're talking about... It sounds like they're talking about the diet drinks. Because they said they're not talking about sugar. So...
Could it be aspartame?
Could be. You know, the artificial sweetener?
Mm-hmm.
They said a sweetener in the drinks could damage the arteries.
And thus?
And thus.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening.
Down south. Nothing's happening down south as a result of diet sodas. That's great.
You know, we don't drink diet drinks anyway. We don't drink sodas.
No.
But people should know that, I think. Doing a public service here.
That's correct. I mean, if you have to drink sodas, I would suggest looking for... The ones that go back to the old throwback formulas. You're seeing them in the grocery store, seeing more of them now, you know, that use the original, like the, and they call it Mexican, like they call it Mexican Coke.
Yeah, it has cane sugar in it.
Has cane sugar in it instead of the artificial sweeteners and things. And no GMOs.
Right.
You know, I know that Coke does it. I know that Pepsi does it. I know Mountain Dew even does it.
We're going to have to talk about GMOs one day on the program.
Yes,
so
indeed.
So people understand.
Make a note, GMOs.
Yeah. But, so yesterday, we called the lottery people.
Oh.
With the state. Because, you know, when we passed the law, the voters passed the law allowing the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
It was because it was going to go to education. Because we're, you know, ridiculously... Well, 48th, 49th in education.
Right up there with West Virginia and Mississippi.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody thought, well, this is great. Even though I don't like gambling or anything like that, lottery, education could be good. But they don't want to be held accountable. They directed us to watch some video and... The stories I read say, you know, oh, $1 billion went to education here and there. But they don't say where in the education system it goes. Is it going to administrative costs? Is it going to books? Is it going to school lunches to improve school lunches? They don't want to answer these questions.
Let's just tell the story. We have had some questions, lingering questions for a while, about exactly how the state of Florida, the lottery, disperses monies to education. All right? And what they qualify as education, how they enhance the education in the state of Florida. So we called, we talked to the public affairs specialist for the Florida Lottery Department of Communications. Spoke with her on, what was it, Tuesday, because of the holiday, and said, hey, we want a guest. And she said, hey, I'll see if I can get you a guest. And by the way, here's a video, the official video on the Florida Lottery's YouTube page, explaining how the lottery's education contributions are allocated. Then I called her yesterday afternoon and said, hey, this is great. Thanks for sending me the video. We still have some questions. When can we have a guest? And she said, because we sent you, my boss told me that because we sent you the video link, we're not going to be able to provide a guest for you to speak to.
Does that make any sense?
No.
I mean,
no.
We're the citizens. We have a right to know.
We just happen to have, you know, a morning show. But we're just regular citizens asking questions of a government or quasi-government agency here and getting the runaround.
And I told her flat out on the phone that that was wrong. And she said, well, we just don't have anybody right now. I said, okay, when will you have somebody? I don't know. You should watch the video. And then she said, my boss said, you don't need a guest because you have the video. Which is a complete departure from what she said the day before.
Yeah, when she said, hey, let me send you and let me send you the video and I'll get a guest, somebody to for you to speak to.
This is the same organization, the Florida Lottery, who had a corruption scandal with former lottery secretary Cynthia O'Connell, which was one of Governor Rick Scott's original agency heads. She had to resign because of questionable travel expenses and absenteeism. So she was just like traveling around on the state's money, on your money. She had a credit card from the state. I mean, where's all this money going? We, you know, you can say, okay, $1 billion is going here, but that's not really specific enough for me. When you say it's going to education, is it going to bonuses for the principals? Is it going to hire more teachers?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. It's funny you should mention that. I can tell you from firsthand experience in the Pinellas County school system, one of the things, if your school gets an A, you know how they pass out the school grades? If your school gets an A, there is a bonus system that is passed out where they take some of the lottery money that is earmarked for, you know, for education and for the teachers, and they pass that down to, like I said, the teachers at the school. Well, some of the support staff said, now, wait a minute, this isn't quite fair. And, you know, we work just as hard. We come in contact with the kids just as often as the teachers do. So then they cut in, they added in the support staff at the school as well. So the people who work in the front office and, you know, the people who take care of the books, the people who, oh, let's see, check for headlights, the people who, you know, work in the cafeteria, they all get to share in the money that is allocated for the school, for the, you know, for the teachers.
Do the teachers get bonuses?
Oh, yes. The teachers get bonuses.
Okay.
Okay.
What do the kids get?
To take more tests? So that they get the A grade?
Oh, that's why they push the tests on them.
Bingo!
I mean, I can't tell you how stressful it is for these kids to take, you know, all these tests. It's very stressful.
Connect the dots with me here. The kids are forced to take the tests.
So that they can get their bonuses.
Hold on. You're jumping? Yes. Yes. The kids take the test, the school gets an A, the teachers and the school staff get the bonuses, and then the kids get to, you know, take the test again the next year.
And what about stuff like the quality of school lunches?
Well, who knows about that?
I know about that. It sucks. You know, I've complained about this more than once. They couldn't make school lunches that
worse.
Were more inexpensive.
No,
My son got E. coli once from an undercooked hamburger over on the other side of the state.
Yep. Had to pump him full of charcoal to clean him out because he was so sick from a lunch.
And luckily, we had a doctor who acted quickly.
Yep.
So he was okay. But, I mean, kids can die from stuff like that.
Not to mention the fact, take a moment and look at what, since you mentioned school lunches, what Michelle Obama has done over the past couple of years to the school lunch program in this country. and how kids are absolutely revolting against school lunches.
The school lunches are pretty abysmal right now. And I remember when I was in Auburn, I did a story about the school lunch in the early education system. They had this really nice early education school. And, I mean, they had state-of-the-art stuff, whiteboards, all this stuff back when they first came out. And they took me into the kitchen, which was spotless. And they had some really healthy school lunches. They were starting them off early, eating healthy, which I think is important. And they had the quality was really good. I don't know what it is now because of the way the budget is now. But it was really, really good back then. And my son, who's been raised eating, you know, extremely healthy food because, you know, I have a culinary background.
Mm-hmm.
And you love to cook also. Every Italian man loves to cook.
Yeah.
And he's a good cook, too. He's always eaten very healthy food. Homemade, organic, for the most part, food. So when he goes to school and tries to eat the lunch, half the time he doesn't eat it. He'll just get fruit or salad or something. Because he won't eat their marinara sauce.
Yeah, we've
he's spoiled.
We brought him up right when it comes to marinara.
Yeah, and now he's learning to cook. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the best ways to get kids to eat new foods is to teach them how to cook their own food. He expressed an interest in learning to cook, so I've taken him from the beginning, you know, with knife skills and learning how to cook basic dishes.
Measurements and stuff like that, yep.
Yeah, so we're learning how to cook. And he is, you know, he will eat his own food that he cooks, even if it has vegetables that he normally wouldn't eat in it.
At 12 years old.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing is, you know, you have to supervise them because...
Well, of course.
You know, you're using knives and you have to make sure they hold their hand the right way, curl your fingers underneath so you don't, you know, lop off a finger or something.
Yep. By the way, if you Google the words corruption and Florida lottery, 361,000 different results pop up, including a story that the Palm Beach Post wrote about 11 stores that were shut down, and they were their ability to sell lottery tickets was taken away from them. Listen to this. Someone actually won 57 times big money from the Florida lottery because what they were doing was they were buying the scratch-off tickets, but before they scratched them off, before they sold them, they would x-ray them, and they could see down below that silvery, you know, powdery junk that they put on there that you got to scrape off
right.
to see whether it was a winner or not.
Do you remember the time where they had the person that worked at the television station that filled up the white lottery balls with paint?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, really?
And they won like $1.8 million.
The Florida Lottery, I'm just going to say it, is one of the most corrupt institutions around. And if you're putting money into it, you're just, you know.
Well, the problem is people aren't going to stop buying lottery tickets because some people are actually addicted to
it. Yeah, it's a compulsion. It is a gambling habit that most people just can't break. And it's stacked against you. It's stacked against you. So
what bothers me is some of the poorest people around will spend money buying lottery tickets. And I think that's really sad.
Yep.
I can't remember the last time I bought a lottery ticket. I'm not saying I never have. But it's a pretty rare occurrence. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. Tweet us at Doherty Report, and we'll read your comments on the air. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. Good morning, Orlando. Hope your commute is going well this morning. As usual, it's going to be freaking hot today.
It is unusual right now.
This is one of the hottest summers I can remember. So, as you know, in the Pulse shooting, many different agencies responded because it was such a huge event. Maitland Police released their dispatch records. And, of course, it's just a log. No recordings. But one of the things they said was that they're treating Orlando Police Chief John Mina. So they began treating the shooter as a barricaded suspect, not an active shooter. This is after gunshots went off in the club. I'm not sure why you would do that. The guy has an AR-15 equivalent. So I don't know how you could just call him someone who's barricading suspects. And then, of course, he ended up shooting more people. So that log was pretty telling. Still would like to hear the recordings, though.
Yeah, well, you're not going to hear the recordings because the FBI won't allow any of that to be released. I'm reading the story from today's Orlando Sentinel. This is interesting. It said Maitland officers were first called to Pulse at 2:12 a.m. The department's records showed that the suspect, Omar Mateen, was barricaded in the club at 2:15 a.m., and shots were also fired at 2:20 and 2:22 a.m. The dispatch log at 2:20 a.m. said the suspect is contained in the bathroom / still shooting. John Mina says, the Orlando Chief of Police, has said that the last reports of gunshots from the club came at 2:18 a.m., after which officers began treating Mateen as, like you said, a barricaded suspect, not an active shooter. The word contained is interesting because of
how are you contained when you have hostages?
Yeah, and contained also means that there is a perimeter set up and he is contained. From then, why did it take three more hours to get him out of there? And were there more shootings? Were there more shootings in the bathroom between 2:18 when Mina said there were no more shots fired? And 2:22, when the Maitland Police Department, who was asked to come in, reported that there were shots fired.
Don't you think it's interesting? I mean, we had one of the victims on the program.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been pretty unusual because I haven't seen, maybe it's just me, and we don't watch a lot of television. We mostly read print and listen to radio. But I haven't heard or seen in print any of the other victims come forward. What does that tell you? Because all of them were interviewed by the FBI. Were they told not to say anything? Just a question. I'm very curious to know the answer to that. 844-544-8255. The entire theme of this show is really about how government keeps information from the people, and they do it with various excuses. In the case of the two shootings in Minnesota and in Baton Rouge, there happened to be video, but it would have been more helpful if the police were wearing body cams. And I think these shootings would be less likely to occur if they were wearing body cams. Do you think there should be a national law to force all law enforcement, including the FBI, to wear body cams? Do you think that would save lives? I'm going to tell you, I do. I think that should have been done a long time ago. the first time there was a national incident, it should have been done. But what does Congress do? I'm still trying to figure out what they do all day. They're going to hold hearings now about Hillary Clinton, but you think they're really going to do anything about it? I have doubts, serious doubts, because really it's just a clown car, a show, so they can act like they're doing something. 844-544-8255. We'll be right back here in a moment. WPRD, The Voice.
This is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. Welcome to Hour 3. Good morning, Orlando. So our question of the day, there have been two shootings, one in Minnesota, one in Baton Rouge, by police officers. They both seem sketchy at best. We're going to talk about the implications of that right now.
Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
My question is, do you think body cams would stop these senseless shootings? The guy in Minnesota worked in a school cafeteria. He wasn't some criminal person. He was a guy who cooked food for little kids. I mean, this is crazy. And when he reached to get his ID and registration, which the officer asked him for, officers shot him in front of his girlfriend and a small child. I'm not saying all officers are bad. That's not what I'm saying at all. Most of them are very, very good people. But just like anything else, there's always that small element that you just never know. I mean, if you're too afraid to do your job and you're going to act in a manner that I don't think is reasonable, I don't think you should be in that line of work. I mean, in the past, we've called for psychological training, you know, testing and all sorts of things for these officers. And what we've been told is that in some cities, if your IQ is too high, they won't hire you. That's not true here in Orlando. That I'm aware of. We don't yet have body cams here with the Orlando Police Department. They're talking about it. They have the budget for it, but they still don't have them. Do you think we should have them to prevent anything like this from happening here? 844-544-8255 is our number. That's 844-544-8255. You know, it only takes one event where one officer jumps the gun, no pun intended, and you could end up with riots all over the city. Is that what you want? Or would you rather prevent it? I would rather prevent it. And the way you prevent it is with body cams, because then officers are aware that everything they do is being watched. We've seen so many videos of horrible things, particularly in Texas for some reason. I'm here with my co-host and husband, Michael Serio.
Here, by the way, are the three things you need to know this morning. An Orlando man is dead after he was found shot at a local gas station. Orlando police officials said an unidentified 26-year-old man was found gravely wounded late last night at a Citgo gas station at Raleigh and Broome. The man was taken to the hospital where he died. Authorities say there are no known witnesses to the shooting and no known suspects. If you know anything about it, they want to hear from, call the Orlando Police Department. Senator Marco Rubio won't be going to the GOP convention in Cleveland. Florida's junior senator announced yesterday he'll stay at home and watch on TV as Donald Trump, instead of he, is expected to be officially nominated as the Republican nominee for party. Rubio is citing his own reelection bid as the reason for not going. The convention runs from July 18th through the 21st. And finally, police are looking for the man who robbed a Chase Bank in Kissimmee yesterday. Osceola County Sheriff's deputy said a man wearing blue jeans and a blue shirt and a hat robbed the Chase location on South JYP. The bad guy is described as 5'10" with tattoos on both arms. He fled the bank with an undisclosed sum of money. We'll see partly cloudy skies throughout the next few days. Unusually hot daytime highs, reaching 98 degrees by Sunday. Overnight lows around 80. And the rain chance for the next few days drops to only 20%. Right now, 80 at 1440 WPRD.
844-544-8255. I want to hear from you. Do you think I'm wrong about the body cams? I can't imagine there being an argument against body cams, but I guess there is one, that they would feel constrained in doing their job, the officers.
Well, they shouldn't feel constrained from doing their job. They should they should feel constrained when they stray from the job description and from the rules that are in place when you engage with a citizen, with a civilian. And one of those rules is you shoot your gun to kill, but only when and only if it is as a result of deadly force coming your way. You don't just willy-nilly shoot and kill just because you can. By the way, lines open right now. If you were trying to dial through, we'd love to hear from you right now. Call us back, 844-544-8255. That's 844-544-TALK.
Yeah, I believe we just missed one of our calls when we were talking. So please call us back, 844-544-8255. In the meantime, I'm just asking what it's going to take before these events stop occurring. We covered the Eric Garner incident in New York City, which was an awful, awful thing. And I mean, that all that audio was available. I mean, we have to watch things that I don't wish on anybody. But this guy basically was in an illegal chokehold that had been banned in New York City. Couldn't breathe. And ended up dying. And as a result, there ended up being riots all over New York City. And random attacks on police officers, which is wrong. I don't think that's right either. So I'm not saying, I'm not advocating violence in any way. But what I'm saying is, this group of people, people of color, are obviously frustrated that they feel like they're being singled out. And yes, you can say there's lots of black-on-black crime in Chicago and places like that. But that's a separate issue. That has nothing to do with police officers. We have a call coming in.
And we'd like to hear from you this morning as well. 844-544-TALK. 844-544-8255.
You're on the air on WPRD.
Hey, I would just like to say, you know, in the case of a good cop who's straight and does his job the way it's supposed to be done, the cameras would be beneficial not just to a person that could be a victim, but it would also be a benefit to him because it's going to protect his you know, his testimony maybe later or something happens to him. So I would think to a cop that's doing the right thing, that's doing his job the way he's supposed to, you know, cameras would be definitely a beneficial thing.
Well, why do you think so many cities seem to be opposed to them?
I think it's, well, I would assume that it's that small minority of police officers who are walking, you know, a thin line between doing their job well and maybe going over the line as far as what they're allowed to do as far as physically. And I think I also remember hearing things that there are people in the public that are not crazy about them because of civil liberties reasons as well. Is that true?
Civil liberties? What do you mean?
Well, as far as, I mean, if I'm not agreeing to be videotaped, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think there was issues regarding that. And one other thing, and I don't remember how long ago this was in the past few months, where a cop had been pulled in for possible brutality, and there was the statement made that his body cam, which he was wearing, and this was not in Orlando, but the body cam he was wearing had malfunctioned and was somehow shut off, so there was no... Hmm. So there is that option, too, of they're not 100%. You know what I mean? They can be tampered with and they can be shut off, I guess, whenever they want. Because officers do go to the restroom, they have to shut them off. You know, I mean, there are times that they're shut on and off. So
right.
I'm sure for a bad cop that wants to do bad things, there's always going to be a way around. But I think that the good definitely outweighs the bad with them, that anchor the thing.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, because in Florida, you're not allowed to record someone without their knowledge. However... Mm-hmm. You know, they already have dash cams, so
mm-hmm.
there must be some sort of exemption for that. I don't know.
I would assume.
Interesting.
That's my two cents.
Yeah, well, thank you for your call, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
By the way, that opens up a line. We'd love to hear from you this morning as well, especially if you're a first-time caller, first-time listener to the program, 844-544-8255. That's 844-544-TALK. Tell you what, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, I've done a little more research here about body cams in Central Florida. Who has them? Who doesn't? And the timeline involved for getting it done from the time the check arrives.
This is important information for you to know as a citizen. Stay with us. You've been listening to the Daugherty Report.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Daugherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head.
Up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Daugherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Daugherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Daugherty. Good morning, Orlando. This is worth saying again. Why is it that government officials, when they ask you for information, they expect you to give it to them? Otherwise, you're quote-unquote hiding something. They invade your privacy right and left. They spy on you with cameras when you walk down the street or you stop at a stoplight. They look in your computers. They look at your cell phones. Yet, when we ask for information about different crimes, about different incidents, we're told we can't have it. So my question is, the same question they posed to us, what are you trying to hide? We're the people that pay your salaries. That's what we do. You live off the backs of our labor. yet you won't answer questions. We've talked about it throughout this program. The Florida lottery people, the Pulse shooting people, the, you know, the officers aren't wearing body cams. And I think Michael has some statistics. And let me give out the phone number
first.
Yeah, please. 844-544-8255. 844-544-8255. What do you think? Do you think that's fair? Go ahead, Michael.
All right, and this is all tied back to two more police shootings over the past 2 days, one just outside of Minneapolis and one in Baton Rouge, where white officers wound up shooting and killing blacks, black males in both cases, neither of which seemingly can be justified, and where body cameras might make a difference. In Orange County, I'll just tell you, back in November of 2014, they approved, the Board of County Commissioners approved it, and just a few months later, boom, they were wearing them.
So the sheriff's office wears them?
Sheriff's office has them. Mm-hmm.
You know what that means?
What does that mean?
It means they had body cams on at the Pulse shooting.
Let me just repeat these and clarify the dates here. I just want to make sure I got this right, because I was looking at two different things. In January 2015, January 13th is the exact date, 2015, Sheriff Jerry Demings won the commissioner's approval for about $500,000 in funds to begin a body camera program for his deputies. And they rolled it out on November 5th, 2015. Okay, so it took from January to November to go through that, you know, that process where you put things out for bid and then you select it and finally, you know, it's put into place. Orlando itself, the Orlando Police Department, is in that window right now. So it takes a while.
See,
obviously.
Now I'm interested in seeing the body cam footage.
Mm-hmm. So the Orange County Sheriff's deputies were wearing and are wearing body cameras, and they were wearing them the night of the shooting at the Pulse nightclub.
Interesting.
By the way, just a couple of things here. One, they spent $540,000 in the first year for the cameras, and then it's going to be $81,000 for the next couple of years. It jumps again in year four as they replace them. So they've got a terrific budget here already laid out. They've allocated money for storage, for the network, for personnel and for training. I mean, the Orange County Sheriff's Department is doing this right.
I think our caller was correct in that if you're doing your job, it protects you.
Sure. It's validation that you did
did the right thing.
And vindication in case you're, you know, accused of wrongdoing.
Yeah, so it works both ways.
Yep.
That's kind of the whole purpose of body cams, is that it works both ways. Our callers are so smart. You know that?
Yep. Oh, I know.
844-544-8255. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the news of the day.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
Up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
So during the show, we've been talking about body cams for police officers and whether it's time to make sure that happens nationwide. 844-544-8255. In the meantime, Orlando City Soccer says they've agreed to part ways with head coach Adrian Heath. Now, according to him, he's devastated, was fired, and he's devastated. So those two stories don't really match
one
up.
One of these things is not like the other.
Right, I don't really get that, why the two different stories. It's like they're trying to put a happy face on it, but the poor guy, I mean, just got fired. Do you think he was doing a really bad job?
Well, they've had a really bad start to this season, and they're already one game out of the position of being eliminated from the. If the playoffs were held today, they just barely squeak in.
But at least they'd squeak in.
They'd squeak in, but again, not a good start.
I mean, well, they I think also, some of these teams are too quick to fire their coaches.
I'm reading here out of the Orlando Sentinel, out of the sports department. It said Adrian Heath didn't know how prophetic he sounded Monday night. Orlando said he had just suffered its most humiliating loss ever, and its coach says he was thrilled that the MLS transfer window opened that day. He said, it can't come quick enough. We need to bring some bodies in. So apparently the MLS transfer window is like in the NFL when they have the trading deadline, the trading window that opens up. But the deal was, it was he that was wound up out.
Yeah.
So
there's going to be a demonstration for an assault weapons ban in Orlando. At the same time, members of the LGBT community are buying more guns than they ever have.
Yep.
To protect themselves. So, I don't know if this is an argument among the community or if this is a different group of people that's demonstrating or what. If I want to be logical about it, and I'm a Second Amendment believer in everything, but I'm not sure why you need a semi-automatic weapon unless you're defending yourself against other people who have that type of a weapon. I don't think, well, it's obvious that the guard that was there couldn't defend himself against the AR-15. And the problem is that when people steal them or sell them on the black market, and you've got a little handgun, how's that going to protect you against something that could shoot up to 700 rounds? I mean, I don't see how that's going to work. So I don't know if you really can ban them as long as you don't have control over the people buying them and selling them under the table. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. By the way, you remember the sit-in on Congress in the House of Representatives where they...
The smelly sit-in?
Yes. 169 members of Congress participated in the House sit-in for gun control. I feel terrible. I saw this headline yesterday and I was busy and I didn't take the time to read the whole story. But apparently of those 170 members of Congress, quite a number of them own guns. So at the same time that they themselves
own guns... This is like the Rosie O'Donnell thing.
I know. Own guns for self-protection. They want to take away the rights of others to protect themselves.
Biggest hypocrites ever. I mean, these people say they want less emissions into the atmosphere, yet they buy giant SUVs. They fly on airplanes. You know, they say they want a weapons ban, but they carry handguns to protect themselves. Apparently from the rest of us. I don't know.
Apparently, well, yes, of course,
the rules don't apply to them.
You're missing the point. The point is they carry handguns with them to protect themselves. They have, you know, the required permits because they're sitting members of Congress. They're protecting themselves in Washington, D.C., a city that has some of the most stringent gun control laws anywhere.
But they carry around guns.
But they have to carry around guns to protect themselves from the bad guys who carry guns or the good guys who don't carry guns.
Well, yeah, Rosie O'Donnell says she has a gun, but she doesn't think other people should have guns. Does that make sense? It's like these people think they're above the law. You know, they want to pass laws, but they don't want the laws to apply to them. And sometimes, not all the police, 99% of them, like I said, are great, but the rest of them, that little faction, thinks the laws don't apply to them.
You know what's going to be interesting?
And they get away with it most of the time.
I know. What's going to be interesting to watch is, over the next 6 months, if indeed there is a big, huge change in Washington, D.C., and if indeed Donald Trump is elected president, How many members of Congress will disappear and be replaced by challengers? And then again, in 2 years, what will happen? And I'm sitting here looking at a picture of that sit-in, and I'm looking at a bunch of really old, rich Democrats sitting on the floor of the House of Representatives. My guess is, and some of those have been there for decades, that they won't survive. That people are on to them on both in both parties and will start throwing these people out.
That's all you can do, is get rid of them, because they think they're more important than you are. For instance, Nancy Pelosi, a local named Paul Smith, wrote into the St. Helena Star in June to talk about Pelosi's recent shoe shopping excursion at a fancy boutique. She parked her SUV, her energy-saving SUV.
It doesn't mention whether it's flex fuel or not, but an SUV.
It was a large, perfectly polished and gleaming black SUV.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, like, parked wherever she wanted to. And there was a light, you know, like one of those police lights on the dashboard, trying to make it look official, which I don't even know if that's legal. And then it went across two lanes of traffic to park in front of a fire hydrant, which is dangerous if there's a fire. That's just a blatant disregard for the law. That's what these people do. They want you to be subject to laws, but they think they're above the law. And it continues. It gets worse and worse and worse because we don't say anything. We keep voting them into office. I really think one term should be enough for Congress. One term. Then they wouldn't have this attitude. They would actually do things that are important. I mean, if you really think these hearings today are going to do anything, you know, with, what's his name, the FBI guy?
James Comey. Sorry.
Yeah, James Comey. And also Loretta Lynch. If you really think Congress is going to do anything, it's just a show. It's just a show to make them look like they're actually trying to do something. It's kind of like when they held the vote on the Affordable Care Act and nothing happened. I mean, as far as I can tell, this Congress has done nothing really valuable the entire time they've been there. And if we vote these same people in again, and that includes Marco Rubio, by the way, you continue to vote these people in who are doing nothing, that's, we get what we deserve. But like I've been saying, a national bill to require body cams for officers after these last two shootings and all the other shootings, I think it's time. I'm not saying nationalize the police force because I think that's a bad idea. But you could certainly make a national requirement for anyone who works for one of the, you know, authorities, the agencies, to have to wear a body cam as a civil rights matter. I just think it's time to do that. 844-544-8255. Do you think I'm wrong? Do you think that's overreach? I'm not trying to be a nanny state or anything, but how many people need to die before these people are held accountable? Before these few, very few officers who engage in this type of behavior are held accountable? Because the problem is, no one will indict them. they just get off scot-free. And if that's what's going to continue, then we need to have more evidence and accountability. Because what are you trying to hide, right? What are you trying to hide? Of course you would want that, right? If you're, you know, a police organization, a sheriff's organization. And like I said, the Orange County Sheriff's Department, I mean, they were the first ones, right? They now have body cams.
Yeah, Orange County Sheriff's deputies do wear body cams.
I know those people. They're very smart, and that was a smart thing to do. That was the right thing to do.
Well, not just, you know, putting the body cameras on the cops, but also creating a system of support for it. If you look at their balance or their budgets, they've balanced the need for maintaining the equipment to replacing it with the support structure underneath, with servers, with monitoring, with, you know, with, it's just very, very well done. It's a well-oiled machine already. And that's what, you know, Orlando Police Department ought to be shooting for.
No pun intended.
Oh. Yes, you're right. That's what they should be aiming for.
Well, what disturbs me is in Orange County, there doesn't seem, I mean, there's crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the downtown core where Orlando Police Department operates, there's a huge crime problem. Just say it. Just admit it. Do something about it. If you have to put police officers on the corners downtown, do it. Because this isn't the first, this is the biggest incident by far, but it's not the first incident. I think just since we've been here, there have been several shootings.
Mm-hmm. The shooting overnight, late last night, at the Citgo station down on the south side of downtown.
Is that by Gore Street?
I'll look it up here. Just give me half a second.
I'm not sure where that is, but I think I'm guessing that's where it is.
Raleigh and Broome.
Oh, okay. So this is what I'm talking about. It continues. And well, I'm sure Mayor Buddy Dyer's a nice person and everything, and he's trying to do all the best things. I don't have any personal ill will towards him. But this crime issue has to be gotten under control. It's going to be a re-election issue for him when he comes up for re-election.
Oh, crime in this city? You better believe it.
Absolutely.
All right. The Raleigh and Broome is on the southwest corner of town. It's off of Kirkman Road down in that area.
When we come back, I do want to hear from you, 844-544-8255. Not the normal number you call, because it's our own toll-free number, 844-544-8255. We've gotten some really good feedback from our listeners this morning, and we appreciate it. I am just struck by the fact that between the Hillary Clinton issue and the people in Congress and the police in many cities, these people think they're above the law, that the laws do not apply to them. I don't understand that. And I think it's because no one's holding them accountable. Why not? If we drive too fast down the street, we get a speeding ticket, and we're accountable. But they're not. Don't you think there's something seriously wrong with that? And until they're being held accountable, this corruption will continue, and it's going to continue to get worse. And while they're taking away our freedoms and our privacy and everything else that we hold dear in this country and marginalizing us, they're doing whatever the hell they want. Stay with us.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
Oh, oh, I just wanna feel this moment.
Like the Doherty Report, then like us on Facebook. Go to ElizabethDoherty.com and click the window into her Facebook page. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. Good morning, Orlando. It's almost 9 o'clock. So hopefully traffic will be dying down a little bit here. Still hot.
Yeah, it's still hot.
That's my weather report.
It's hot. How hot is it? It is damn hot. Thank you, Robin Williams.
There is a new sex abuse scandal. 2,400 doctors have been implicated by patients. It's the first comprehensive study that's been done about how many doctors are abusing their female patients. This is a big deal. That's a lot of doctors.
2,400 doctors?
Yep.
Across the country?
Yep. I mean, this is bigger than the Catholic priest thing. So,
wow.
I'm going to give you some guidelines. If you're a woman going to see a doctor, you need to either make sure there's a nurse in the room, which is what they're supposed to do, is have a nurse in the room, or have your husband or somebody with you.
Yeah, just so that you're not in the room alone with a doctor.
You're on the air at WPRD.
Hey, this is Paul. I just wanted you to know that my AM dial on my radio goes all the way to the left and the right. And about a month ago, you were way over to the left, and now you're way over to the right. And I'm glad I found you again.
Well, we're glad you found us as well. You know what he's referring to.
Oh, the other station.
The dial position, yes.
Yes, we're at a different station now.
And you can wake up with us instead of, you know, just the Sunday night thing.
Instead of listening at night, we're on Monday through Friday now.
6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
I enjoy your show. The best part to me is all the stuff like you're bringing up right now. You know, the things that people don't necessarily think about when they just get up and live their lives. I don't know particularly whether that's good or not, but it's nice to know somebody's out there just, you know, unearthing things that really we should be thinking about once in a while, and things that aren't, we're not a perfect country by any stretch, but it's nice to be reminded that we need to have one eye on the things we're a little short in, as long as counting our blessings and having a good time also. So thank you.
I agree with you. We have to be giving them the side eye. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Give them the side eye. Well, we sure appreciate your call, and we appreciate you listening, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for following us up the dial.
Take care.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you later.
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cool. I like hearing that.
Yeah. So people are finding us. It's taken a little while because, I mean, we were on a different station.
Yeah. Exactly. We'll just leave it there. We're grateful you made the move with us. And now that, you know, in on the morning show, we're here every morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. We hope you'll follow us as well. May I mention that or not? It's up to you.
I think we should do a special.
Okay, we'll do something special for it tomorrow.
Piece for that. We also have a special story we're going to bring you tomorrow that might blow your mind a little bit. I don't want to spoil it because it's one of those things that will merit a lot of discussion. And it's a pretty controversial subject. There are a lot of people that get mad when we bring this up.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to talk about it anyway because it needs to be talked about. But getting back to these doctors.
Okay, you have about a minute and a half here.
Like I said, you either want to have a nurse in the room or your husband or boyfriend or somebody in the room. I mean, I personally had a doctor ask me to do a self-exam in front of him without a nurse in the room. And I said, absolutely not. Not doing it. And I said, isn't there a nurse supposed to be in here? And that shut him up immediately.
Wow.
But the fact that he even asked.
I do remember that.
Is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was so wrong. And you have to be able to speak up like that. Otherwise, you get taken advantage of.
Or find a female doctor.
Some of these stories are really horrible about people being, you know, under anesthesia and stuff. Things that have been done to them. It's terrible.
Where can people find more information about this?
This is on abcnews.com. And the title of the story is The New Sex Abuse Scandal, 2,400 Doctors Implicated by Patients. That's a ridiculously high number. Well, we sure appreciate you joining us today. We appreciate you listening and following along with us. You can go to ElizabethDoherty.com, Doherty Report on Twitter, EA Doherty 1 on Facebook, where we have a lot of discussions. We'll be right back here tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on WPRD, The Voice.
This is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.